You may be seated. Well, there will be some men coming forward, and they will have some Bibles. And so we would, if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we'd love for you to be able to look and read with us for the next part of our service and for the remainder of the service. So make sure to put your hand up, and they'll be sure to get one for you. Do we have some? We might not. Well, look on with a neighbor. Well, we've been able to read from the book of John this morning about the death of Christ, and we were able to sing to one another and to the Lord about his death. And now we turn to the time in our service where we remember again Christ's death by taking a piece of bread and drinking from a cup as symbols of the Christ's death on the cross. And this is a special time in our service, which is reserved for believers, those who, whether you're from this church or from another church, but if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we just invite you to enjoy this meal together with us. If that's not you, we're thrilled that you're here. Please listen. Please read along. And we would love to talk with you after the service about what it would mean to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, in your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Galatians, and we will look at the first few verses in the book of Galatians. And Paul here is writing a message for the churches in Galatia. We'll start in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul is bringing out that his message that he brings us is not by men. He wasn't sent by men. He wasn't sent by the wise. He wasn't even sent by the other apostles. But yet from Jesus Christ and God the Father themselves. Notice the affirmation of the deity of Christ here. Paul wasn't sent through a man, but through Jesus Christ and through God the Father. By emphasizing the divine origin of his apostleship and message, he also affirms that Christ is no mere man. What Paul writes, what the Bible says, is not man's wisdom. It doesn't reflect man's wisdom, man's best explanation of the problems we face, but the very word of God. Paul was sent and writes with the authority of God himself who sent him. And the first thing he has on his mind as he writes to a church who desperately needs to hear from God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ was not defeated by death, but he was raised from the dead. He then identifies who he is writing to in the churches in Galatia and those who are with him. But he can't go on further without returning to the gospel. He's already spoken of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So why did Jesus die? Let's look at verse 3. He writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." Jesus gave himself. What did he give himself for? For our sins. That is, he gave himself in place of our sins. He took upon himself what Paul will describe in the book of Galatians, the curse for our sins. He experienced the wrath of his Father in place of sinners who would place their faith in his sufficient, perfect, atoning sacrifice in our place. That's what we get to remember when we take communion this morning. This is the gospel message we remember. Jesus' body was broken and his blood was spilled because of sin, our sin. And the Galatian church needed reminding of this fact, We need reminding of this fact, but particularly the Galatian church, because they were being tempted to follow a teaching that told them that there was something that they could do to be right with God, something they could add that would improve their standing with God, some merit of their own. And there wasn't. It would be by faith alone in the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins that would be the only thing that would secure right standing with God. Look at the rest of verse 4. Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us. That he might rescue us. Rescue us from this present evil age. There's a lot, actually, that Jesus rescued us from. But in this passage, Paul is highlighting his rescue of us from this present evil age. Well, this week in our country has been a stark reminder that we do, in fact, like Paul, live in an evil age. We've seen murder. We've seen evil called good, good called evil. We've seen the rejection of God. We've seen men clinging to what allows them to continue in their sin. There's no doubt that the age that we live in is evil. And the fact that Jesus came to rescue us from it is a reminder that this age isn't our home. Jesus Christ died for us, took the punishment for our sins so that he might rescue us out of this age. From this world, and we're still here. We're still here, but this short stay on this earth is not forever. This isn't our home. If we're in Christ, we'll not share in the judgment that is coming upon this world. No, we're rescued from it. This morning, as we turn our hearts to remember the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf, I want you to think about your relationship to the world. First, consider your past relationship to the world. The course of which, as Ephesians says, that we used to walk after when we conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, being children of wrath. We were born into this depraved nature. And what did we do out of it? We served ourselves. We did what pleased us. We ran after the world and what it had to offer. But if we are a child of God, that was who we were. Second, consider your future relationship to this world. If you're in Christ, you're no longer a citizen of this world, but a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You have an imperishable, unfading, undefiled inheritance that is beyond this world, that is awaiting for us. We have a future rescue that's still coming. We've indeed been rescued from the dominion of this world, the dominion of darkness, the slavery to sin, but we will one day be rescued from the very presence of sin and the presence of its impact upon this world. Our days in this world are numbered, but one day our faith will be sight. Lastly, consider your present relationship to this world. Do you find yourself preoccupied with the pursuit of the things of this world? Worldly desires, worldly pursuits, worldly thinking. If you're in Christ, this isn't your home. Those things will be put away. If you're a believer in Christ and you've, as you look at your life, as you prepare, as you take account and inventory of your own life, even in the past week, what have I given myself to? Has my life reflected that I am being conformed to this world? Or am I being renewed so as to be conformed to Jesus Christ in his image? The world is actively trying to conform you into its image, but God tells us to not be conformed, but be transformed, right? By renewing our minds, turning from evil, clinging to what is good. He died to rescue us from this world and the coming judgment. So how can we still live like we're in it? How can we still live like we belong in it? No, we put off worldliness. And it's not so that we might earn a right standing with God. No, he's already accomplished that for us. We actually put off worldliness because of what he's already accomplished for us, because of our love for him, our gratitude to him, our desire to please him. Believer, as you prepare for this, to remember Christ's death this morning, confess in your time with the Lord where your life may be more closely resembling conformity to this world rather than conformity to Christ. Repent this morning and look in faith and trust upon him. Him who took away your sin, who died for your sin, who has rescued you from its dominion, and who will rescue you from its presence when we see him face to face. Men, come forward and serve us. And this morning, I'll have you take communion on your own when your heart is prepared, and then I will close us in prayer.